Rabbi Silas, learn. This week we have Tazria Mitzrayah, a double header, and we have two Sifrei Torah. We don't have two Sifrei Torah, one for Tazria, one for Mitzrayah. That's not the reason why there are two Sifrei Torah. It's Rosh Chodesh. So it's Rosh Chodesh, so we're not going to lay not the half Torah of Tazria, we're not going to lay the half Torah of Mitzrayah, we're going to lay the half Torah of Hashamayim Kisi. But we still have two very difficult parashios, and they're really hard parashios. Once upon a time, I had a chavrus, and I learned Masechta Negoim. I think it's the hardest thing I ever learned. Mishnayis Masechta Negoim. I wish I remembered something from that time. It was really, really, really hard.
Take notes and study the notes.
It's very, very hard stuff. Tazria, the Masechta Negoim. But we have over here two parashios, Tazria Mitzrayah, and here's the question. The question is, everything I'm telling over here, not everything, but most coming from the same called Das Konitza. We used to use a lot. And he has here a chapter, which I don't have it marked up, so we never did it before, about question, why Bizman Hazeh do we not practice the laws of Tzaras? Go to a dermatologist. I'm sure they'll tell you that every once in a while, a patient comes in, and they have a white spot. So there are many. It happens. It seems from the writings, of the Gedolei Yisrael. Okay, maybe it's not so common. We have to go bring We don't know. We have to bring in a doctor, a dermatologist, someone who's proficient in these. It's not so far fetched that people have on their skin discolorations, which may in fact qualify what the Torah says, what it says in Masechta Negoim as Tzaras. And you've never ever heard someone, I can't come to Yechasana because I'm a Mitzayra. Bodod Yeshev Michutz L'machane Moshavai. Why not? So there's a lot to be said about this, and in this wonderful Sefer Penina Das Konisa, he collects.
How are you going to bring your
korbanos? So Rabbi Mintz right away he says, "What are you talking about? You're carrying the korbanos. So you won't bring the korbanos. A woman who's a yoledes, no one should give birth today because a woman isha ki says the yolda zoch of it and then what it says and then she's
so that's only to be
bata
her to bring korbanos.
So there at the end she's mechushre kapara. A woman who gives birth has to bring at the end of 40 days or any days has to bring." Two birds has to be kibbutz. So no woman today should give birth because if she gives birth, she's chayav to bring the kibbutz. So she doesn't bring the kibbutz. So just because you don't bring the kibbutz and she's mechusrei kapara, what does it mean to be mechusrei kapara? You can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. You can't eat kachim. Anyway, today we're not eating kachim. So too, just because a person at the end of the process cannot bring his korbanos doesn't mean that he should not apply the rules of shaving off all of his hair and going mechutz lemachne, badad yeshiv, living in isolation. And
wait,
one thing at a time. Let's first discuss some of the basic halachas. Okay, the halachas of the Gemara are extremely complex, but basically the issues are a person who is a mitzvah muskar. And a mitzvah muchlat. Muskar means that there is a suspicion, there is a possibility that he has tzaras, and it requires more clarification, which the Torah says, go into quarantine for a week, and then be inspected at the end of the week by a kohen for him to make a decision. And sometimes he has to be quarantined for 2 weeks. Ultimately, after 2-3 weeks, it will be clarified either immediately, or 1 week, or 2 weeks, or sometimes even 3 weeks, this person is a mitzvah. During that time where he's being inspected to determine, he's called a mitzvah musgar. He is locked up. Once the kohen determines that he is indeed a mitzvah, he's called a mitzvah muchlat. He is a confirmed mitzvah. What are the laws? Both a mitzvah musgar and muchlat has to shave off every hair on his body, including his peos and his beard, completely clean shaven. His entire body, every hair must be removed from his body with a razor.
That's a punishment?
No, I don't know. I don't know if you want to say a punishment. That's how it is. That's the halacha when there's a suspicion. So he has to shave off all the hair except for the location where the nega is. They leave a little bit of hair around the side to see that it spreads. We're not going into all the halachas now.
If there's a
The Kohen is the one that makes the decision. The Kohen is the one, and sometimes, and the truth is, it's not, the Gemara and the Mishnah says clearly, it's not necessarily the Kohen. The laws are extremely complex, and it requires, as Dr. Dove said, a Mesoira of exactly how to, what colors and what to do in different situations. And sometimes the Kohanim did not know the halachas, and they would tell me that they were experts who knew the halachas, and they would just tell the Kohen, say Tameh, or say Tahar. The Kohen is just a puppet. The Kohen is that you need gzeres hakasuv of a Kohen to make a declaration. You are Tameh. You are hereby a Mitzorah. How do I know? I know nothing. The Chacham, the Talmud Chacham, or the doctor told me that you're a Mitzorah. I trust the doctor. Maybe even a non-Jew. It can very well be that it's even a non-Jew. If whatever the expertise that is necessary, we will provide. And it will be, and the expert will make the decision what his situation is, and we need a Kohen Miyuchas to declare you are hereby a Mitzayra. And therefore you have to do the following things. You have to shave off all of your hair. You are required to live in isolation, and you have to rise Kriya, and you have to put a Shmata over your head, and you have to say the words Tamei Tamei Yikra. You have to say certain things. There's a whole procedure. Like I'm sure so during when you learn Masechta Yevamos, they have a whole, they have videos, they have demonstrations. How? I'm sorry? Oh, the Rambam says it does. We're going to get to that in one moment. And there's a whole procedure. Like during like, the Yibum, Chalitza. So there are videos and there are demonstrations and there are books and v'chulu, what kind of shoe and the straps. There's a whole Shulchan Aruch of the process of a person becoming a Mitzayra. He has to rise Kriya, shave all of his hair with a razor, has to go and cover his head, has to go Michutz L'machanet, Badad Yeshev, in isolation. Is he allowed to live with his wife? Is he not allowed to live with his wife? There are many halachas. It's a very complicated procedure.
Doesn't that answer the question? We're not positive what a Mitzayra is.
Say it.
We're not positive what a Mitzayra is.
Okay, so we're going to get to all this. Okay, let's see.
Let me finish, right? So, it's a suffix. Shave his hair is definitely an issa d'oraisa.
Excellent. We're going to come to that. Excellent. Shaving, it's an issa d'oraisa to cut off your beard.
You don't declare a mitzvah,
right? But not necessarily. Look, there are a lot of things that we do.
And your lettuce, right, there's no issa d'oraisa.
Okay, so you're on the mark. We're going to come to this in one moment. Let us first bring out the issue, and we're going to come to your answer. You are correct. Absolutely. We're going to get to this. So this is the issue. Why don't... Now, so that Rabbi Mintz is saying, okay, but what about the korbanos? Okay, so there'll be no korbanos. But there is a halacha to declare a mitzorah tamei. There's a halacha when the tzaras goes away to declare him tar. Then there are birds. The birds we can bring... The birds are not korbanos. The birds are done on the first. He has to shave his hair, and then they take. I don't remember all the details. You take two birds, a living bird, and you take, and you have to take an eitz erez ushni talas ve'ezoiv, and you wrap the shni talas around the eitz erez and the ezoiv. You slaughter the one bird, and you dip the living bird with the eitz erez, the ezoiv shni talas, in the blood of the dead bird. You sprinkle it upon the person, and you send the birds away. Why can you do that bisman hazeh? It'll be a whole, can you imagine, you'll bring the whole, every yeshiva katana, Rabbi Yisai, guess what? Today we're going to a mitzvah, a class trip. Everyone's making the joke. And Eli Stefanski, everyone following Daf Yomi, Eli Stefanski's hands-on. Everything that he can possibly demonstrate in real, he demonstrates. He makes a whole show out of every Daf Gemara. So the joke was, oh, Masechta Saita. Rumor has it, he's going to bring into the shir a real Saita. He's going to bring in a real Saita. Any volunteers? Any volunteers? That was the joke going around. So there's no, we have a Mitzorah. This guy is a Baal Lashon Hara. He's a Baal Gaiva. He did all these Averis. This guy. Look at him. They're shaving off his hair. They take the two birds. Could you imagine they would make such a big deal about it today? You have a real Mitzorah. Why not? Why don't we follow the laws of Mitzorah? So you'll say, wait a minute. The whole halacha only applies when there's the Beis HaMikdash and in Eretz Yisrael. Let's go one thing at a time. So let me read you what the Rambam says. And it's not just the Rambam. The Rambam says, let's find the page over here, one second. Okay. Parashas Tazria. Where we go? One second. Okay,
what's that?
That's the very end. The Kabbalah is the very, very end. It's the very end. The very, very end. So that we don't bring. That we don't bring Yoledes. We don't bring, so the Kabbalah, you don't bring the Kabbalah, but who says, who's to say, you make a good point, okay, Rabbi Mintz is trying to say, it's totally Zebezeh. Rabbi Mintz is trying to say that,
you're trying to,
the Harabais, the Machanis, so you don't go into the old city. You don't go into the old city, that's the
maybe all the walled cities also?
We don't have any other walled cities.
Yeah, all the places that.
Okay, so you're right, these are all. These are all issues. These are all interesting issues. So let me read you the words of the Rambam.
Why bring yourself to these problems?
Well, if that's the halacha, that's the halacha.
Maybe we should do a seita also, right?
The Gemara says no one should say to his wife, don't befeish.
Why not?
Because then she'll become aser. She'll be aser. But if there's a way out, every halacha has to be analyzed in its context. You're right. Let's see. So let's talk to see. We've never heard about this. And the Gedolei Yisrael, the previous generations, have discussed this. Why not? Let me read you some words of how they actually. I'll read you from the Teferes Yisrael, not all that long ago. And he writes, this is what he writes, Umiyomai. These are his words. It's a quotation from the Teferes Yisrael in Mesechta, in the Hakdama to Mesechta Nigoim, the Teferes Yisrael. He writes, Umiyomai, and in my days, Timhati, I always wondered, Lama ein noyhagin kein bizman hazeh. Why don't we practice the laws of Tzaras in today's day and age? Obviously, he must have been a dermatologist. He must have been aware that people do get these type of white spots that are omoik, whatever the Masorah is, and have yellow hair, white hair, no hair, bald spots, v'chulu v'chulu. The Teferes Yisrael. The Teferes Yisrael. Umiyomai, this is an exact quotation from him. Umiyomai timhati loma ein lehagen kein bizman hazeh. V'zacharti yomim mikedem. I remember when many years ago, shebiyaldusi, in my youth, hitzati timihasi lifnei hagoin hagadol mereinu harav Akiva Eger Zecher Tzadik Ukadosh Levracha. I asked this question to Rabbi Akiva Eger. That's what the Teferi Shol says. When I was a young boy, I asked him, V'heshivani, and he answered me, Shegam hu Toma al davar zeh. Rabbi Akiva Eger. Okay, Rabbi Akiva Eger. I also wondered, why not? V'she'ein loy tirutz ha-miskabel al hadas. And he didn't have any good answer. Rabbi Akiva Eger, tzorich ino on the side of the Gemara, the Gilyan Hashas, tzorichin gadol, tzorichin ketzas, tzorichin gadol ad mo'oid. In all different lashonos of Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Gilyan Hashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, tzorichin gadol. Why bizman hazeh? Go to a dermatologist, sit at the whole day by a dermatologist. I used to have on my block, Novik, he's at the corner of 19th Street and Avenue J, with a dermatologist. I once went to him many, many years ago. He used to sit there, they had patients lining up the whole day going in there. Every time I would walk by the block, there were patients, mamas, always traffic coming and going to him. He must have a million patients. It must be there are such things. I don't know, but it must be there are such things. Why don't we follow these laws today? You have an expert who, there must be some understanding of how of the halachas, and you tell a kohen, if the kohen's good enough to get the first aliyah, gedol lechazaka. So you call the kohen, come and say, tell this guy, declare him tameh, and when he gets better, you get a kohen. Come, declare him tar. You can bill for this. You'll make money on this. Kohen, get a commission. Get a commission. For you make a couple of bucks. Does the insurance pay for the cost of the kohen? Rabbi Dr. Cohen, Rabbi Dr. Colonel Cohen wants to say something. Rabbi, let's hear.
Broken doctors can't identify exactly which skin malady is psoriasis.
So I hear what you're saying.
According to the Simonim of the Punish, they can't identify what skin melody.
Okay, Rabbi, Dr. Cohen is saying is that today we don't have the, we don't, cannot identify this siman. That may be 100% true, but for some reason, Rabbi Kiva Eger didn't find that to be a problem. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. We do not know today.
There are skin problems.
There are skin.
The way that Torah describes the
Se'ei sapachas beheres. V'hine omoik min ha'or. You're right. So that's part of the issue. But for whatever the reason is, the Tiferes Yisrael, and that's the most obvious answer. Just because it says in the Torah, Se'ei sapachas beheres levana, and nesek, all these lashonos. So we don't know what these things are. Okay, that I'm on board with you. We don't know what these things are, but for some reason the Tiferes Yisrael obviously didn't find that to be a good answer. It seems like he did know what they are, and Rabbi Kiva Eger also didn't give that as an answer. We don't know what these things are. We don't know the different shades of white and how these things work. It seems lenitne Torah lemalachei hasharis, or maybe the lenitne Torah lemalachei hasharis, a person who sees negoim the whole day, sees discolorations of skin. For some reason, they felt they know what these things are. That's a mesurah. That was always going back. Maristam is a daily thing. It's a daily thing. Different colors, different shades, different minhagim. Need training because she was right there, and there are many different opinions. Right. So this is the Tiferes Yisrael and Rabbi Kiva Eger obviously did not feel that was an answer that should hold us back. We'll do. We know good enough, or maybe we should have known.
I think you have to look at the question a little differently. I think the reason we don't know what all these things are is because we don't practice them.
Right, we don't want to know.
Exactly.
If it was Nogi Abisman Azeh, we would have known.
So the question is, why did it...
Right, how did it evolve? How did we let go of it? Why did we just let it go away and we lost the Mesorah? If the halacha would be that it applies Bizman Azeh, we would never have forgotten the halachas. We would have held on to it. Okay, so what's the next obvious answer? The next obvious answer would be that you need a Beis HaMikdash. This is what Rabbi Mintz was wanted to say, is that that L'chaira, since the end of the day, at the end, you have to go to the Beis HaMikdash and bring a karbonos. And if you can't afford to bring an animal, you can bring birds. Okay, it's an oil of yoreid. In Mitzrayim, if I'm not mistaken, there's an oil of yoreid. You can't afford, you can bring birds. So, you need the Beis HaMikdash, right? You need. So that, it sounds pretty good. However, the Rambam, the words of the Rambam are very important. Let me find what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, the words of the Rambam are very precise. Let me find the Rambam. Here it is. Okay, the hashtag the ka shishna ladar the kinir lead yavshim teretz mishum b'tavs etzoch. One second. Here it is. The Rambam, the Perish Mishnayis writes. This is the Rambam in the Perish Mishnayis. Okay. Umimash ni tzarch levar kan kedei la hashtam in ham sech. It should. Okay, I gotta find it over here. Let's see over here. It's a different point. I can't find it over here. One second. It's important, the exact words of the Rambam. Okay, here this is the Ramban. No, everyone says the same thing over here. But all right, let me just tell you basically what the Rambam says. The Rambam over here, mm-hmm, to summarize, that this applies bizman habayis. Oh, I really gotta find the right words. Where are the words of the Rambam? All right. I'm not going to find the words of now, it's taking me too long, but the Rambam says, beferish, that the halacha of tzaras applies bifnei abayis and sheloi b'fnei habayis b'eretz Yisrael uv'chutz la'aretz. I don't have the exact words over here. I'm having a hard time finding the exact words, but the Rambam learns that the laws of Negaim apply in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Bein bifnei habayis, or bein sheloi bifnei habayis. Even when there is no Beis HaMikdash. Which basically means that it applies b'zman hazeh. So the Rambam understands there's no exclusion anywhere in the Torah. We have no Mishnah. There's no piece of Gemara that makes a drasha anywhere, analyzing all of the entire subject matter of the sugya of tzaras. Nowhere does it say that there's a limitation to the laws of Negoyim only in Eretz Yisrael and only b'zman shebeis hamikdash kayim. And therefore, that's all part of the question. So you say, oh, you need a baseline because you need to bring the korbanos? Not necessarily. So you're mechusa kippurim. You're mechusa kippurim. So you never brought your korbanos. The Gemara talks many examples where a person was a mitzayra. Yeah, this is in the Gemara. He's a mitzayra and he's tar from mitzaras. It's just he never got around to bringing his korbanos. So he's a mechusa kippurim. So what is he allowed to do? So he has a din of a sheni. He can't eat. A mechusa kippurim is like a sheni. He can't eat truma. If a kohen was a mitzayra, and he went through the entire process of tahara, he can't eat truma. Why not? He's tahar. Yeah, but a mechusa kippurim has the status of a sheni. And truma can become a shlishi. So a kohen can't eat until he does brings the korbanos. He cannot eat his truma. But the Gemara and clearly says, he truma, if you're a sheni, you need, right, you go to mikvah. If a person is tamei, you go to mikvah, and then you're a sheni, a tvul yoim. Think about a tvul yoim. Person who's tamei for tumas meis or tumas sheretz, and you go to mikvah, so you go to mikvah, so you're a tvul yoim until the sun sets. The first mishnah says in Shas. But there's no korbanos. You don't need to bring any korbanos. There's no need to bring korbanos. The person was tamei, he went to mikvah. All he needs is hair of shemesh. But when a person is also a mechusar kippurim, he has a requirement to bring a korban, like a zov or a mitzayra. So that the most tumah yotz min haguf, a baal keri, he goes to mikvah, he waits until the sun sets. There's no korban to bring. A person who's tamei meis, he has to have par aduma water, day 3 and day 7. So when they sprinkle the par aduma water upon him, he waits until the night, and that night he's ready to go. He's 100% tar. But then there are people, even though you're 100% tar, there's something else you still must do. Okay, could be maybe right. Maybe you can't eat kachem. You can't enter into the harabai. There are different halachas. So the Gemara talks about a mitzayra who went through the entire process. The only thing is he did not yet bring his korbanos. Okay, but the Gemara clearly indicates that he's still called a mitzayra. Bringing the korbanos is not totally, zebezeh. And the Rambam explicitly writes somewhere, which I'm having a hard time finding at this moment, he writes that you cannot, that the laws of Negoim apply apply in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, bein bifnei habayis, bein sheloi bifnei habayis. Now here on this safe on the footnote, I have something that really to me is fascinating. He quotes here another halacha about this nusach of the Rambam. And the nusach of the Rambam is bifnei habayis v'sheloi bifnei habayis. And he says here that many Mefarshim, when they quote this Rambam, or they're sloppy. And it's not only in this area of halacha, there are other areas of halacha where the Rambam says this. And they say, oh, the Rambam says that it applies bizman hazeh. And the Mechabi here, he quotes that Sefer Toldos Adam, and he takes issue with many people who quote the Rambam and are sloppy. And the Rambam says it applies bizman hazeh. The Rambam never ever said that the laws of tzaras apply bizman hazeh. All he said is it applies. All he says it applies bifnei. It says in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz. He says b'ferish and Chutz Laretz. But he says bein bizman habayis, ubein shel bizman habayis, and shenoyeg sheloy bifnei habayis. Oh, he says. So he says all the many mechaber. They said the Rambam says it applies bizman hazeh. The Rambam never ever said it applies bizman hazeh. The Rambam says it applies sheloi bifnei habayis. And he says a tremendous chiddush. It's kedai just for this chiddush. This whole thing just for this chiddush. Yeah. There's something called shaloi bifnei habayis, but it's not bizman hazeh. There's another madrega. Here's such a deacon Rambam. This you're splitting hairs. Say such a thing. There's something called bizman habayis, shaloi bizman habayis, and bizman hazeh. Shaloi bifnei habayis is not bizman hazeh. There's a tekufa in Jewish history which is called Shaloi Bifnei Habayis. But that era of Shaloi Bifnei Habayis is on a higher level than Bizman Hazeh. Bizman Hazeh is lower than Shaloi Bifnei Habayis. Now, how are you going? Why? So he doesn't explain, unfortunately, but he leaves it open for you to, and he opens up a whole world. Because let's talk about after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so what was the problem? Did they bring Kurbanos? So it seems from historians, they brought Kurbanos, even from the Gemara. Karban Pesach, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. The next year, they brought the Karban Pesach. They went to the location of the Mizbeach, and if the Goyim, they paid them enough money, so the Bais was Chorav, but the Karban Pesach, they cleared space, and they built a temporary little mizbeach. It has to be a square. It doesn't have any shear, a square. And they brought, and they had a koyin, and the koyin, they had big de kahuna, and they had tcheles, and they knew all the halachas, and there was a degree of kedusha, which it's hard to define all of these, what exactly you need. You need the udavitumim, you need this, you need that. But there was an era in Jewish history where there wasn't a functioning Beis HaMikdash. There wasn't a bias. But it was Sheloi Bifnei Habayis. Today, unfortunately, we've gone so far down, we cannot consider ourselves in the category of Sheloi Bifnei Habayis. Now, these are very vague words, and it definitely requires elaboration to say such a chiddush, but it's a very big chiddush, to say that there are three categories. Bifnei Habayis, Shaloi Bifnei Habayis, and Bizman Hazeh. If the Rambam held that you can that applies Bizman Hazeh, he would say Bizman Hazeh, and it could very well be that there are other things where the Rambam actually uses that term Bizman Hazeh. But being that by Tzaras, he does not say Bizman Hazeh, but says Shaloi Bifnei Habayis, that's a darga which we do not have. Now that needs a definition.
You're close to the Rambam, because from the Mishkan you had Tzaras, and when they had all the places where the Mishkan was.
But the Mishkan is called the Bais. The Mishkan, even though it's a Mishkan, but the Rambam is writing from the Tuv of the Beis HaMikdash. All right, now let's leave it with that. Now let's go back to Heshi's question. Now, look, before we go to Heshi, let's go to something else. We need a coin.
Soon after they held the Meiri, you bought the Beis HaMikdash.
Okay, but it's
still... They felt there was the comeback, and they kept a lot of things.
There was still hope.
They still felt,
the Meiri you bought it. It needs definition. It's a new chiddush. I've never heard this before. It's a beautiful idea, and it needs a definition. The Toldos Adam, Chelik Aleph Perek Vav, Shepam Achas Yashu, he brings a whole story from this Misibah Shel Talmid Chacham Sochem, attire the tourist, Rav Zalmila Mivolozhin. He was, I guess, an explorer, a Jewish explorer, the Jewish version of Christopher Columbus. And there was Rav Yaakov Emden was also there, it seems, and they said something in the name of the Rambam. I don't know, he's not saying what it was, and he said Bizman Hazeh. And Rav Zalman said there's no such nusach in the Rambam. The Rambam did not ever write Bizman Hazeh in regard to that issue. He wrote Shenoyek Sheloi Bifnei Habayis. And they went on to this whole conversation about this topic. Okay, but let's go on to another question. Okay, Cohen. Now this is the age-old question. One thing is clear as day. In order to declare a person a mitzvah, you need a qualified kohen. Now, there are actually the Rishonim, there's a Ramban, and there's a Chinuch, and they throw around the word kohen differently. Some of the Rishonim use the word a kohen miyuchos. Today, do we have a kohen miyuchos? It's a tough question. We give kohanim pidyon haben money, and we don't tell them to give it back, and if they're not Kohanim, it would be outright Gezel. And if they would give it back, it would make the whole pinyan aben invalid because it would then be like a matana manas lahachzir. So by and large, most of the kohanim keep the money that they are given for pinyan aben. And if you dare say to them, oh, maybe you're not a kohen, maybe it's gezel. Now, how much does it cost pinyan aben? The 5 coins cost like what, almost $100. It's almost $100. That's a lot of money. $100, a lot of money. And the kohen gets the kohen. It's still a lot of money. Sorry to tell you, Rabbi Yisai. $100 is still a lot of money. Okay? It's a lot of money, and he gets to keep it. You get to keep it? You're a ganav. You're a ganav. Try to borrow from someone $5. You learn very quickly how much $100 is worth. Okay, oh, so what is our Aramin saying? Gedoyel Chazaka. Gedoyel Chazaka. They get to keep the money. They get the first aliyah. If Gedoyel L'Chazaka, how come today we don't give the Koyam? You've never heard anyone give the Koyam the Zeroya L'Chayayim V'Hakeva. You're supposed to give the Koyam of every animal of Chulin, even in Chutz La'aretz, you are required to give the Koyam 3 parts of the animal. The Zeroya, the front right leg, the L'Chayayim, which in Halachim basically is the tongue. You know how much a tongue cost? In Gladmart? In Moshe's, it costs almost $100, $80, it used to cost $50. Now it's literally double. The price is literally double. Not so long ago, it was about $50.
Are you inquiring of the butcher or the guy?
The owner of the animal. Someone should give, someone, you never saw a Kohen say, come over to my house, I'm serving tongue. I got it for free. In Gladmar, they send me a delivery every Erev Shabbos. They send me a full tongue, no kiddusha, dini mominis. You're supposed to give the Kohen the Zeroya L'Chayayim V'Hakeva. How come you never see anyone do that? How come you don't do that? In Eretz Yisrael...
Rav Behemoth belonged to Goyim.
What?
Rav Behemoth are owned by Goyim. They're grown by Goyim. And that's it. Excuse me. Let me tell you something. When you buy a shrita, you buy the shrita. So the 100 animals that they're going to shech that day, you buy it in advance, and you get 20 kosher, you eat the other 80, you gotta sell it off the trade. That's how it works. You pay for 100, so then you gotta prorate the cost.
That's
why the meat that day costs like $600. But you buy it at that day.
Okay, let's go further. This is the dilemma. So what is the answer? The answer is this, that we say that Kohanim are Gedoy L'Chazaka is not so simple. And the way he explains it very beautifully is, the only time a kohen, when it comes to certain halachas, basically today, no one today can say about themselves, Bori, I am absolutely certain that I am a kohen. So there's one thing called the chazaka, and there's another thing you can say, you need to say Bori, I am certain. There are two dinim in being a kohen. It's either gedoy l'chazaka. I have a presumption. If my father got the first aliyah, and my grandfather got the first aliyah, my great grandfather got the first aliyah, so I could also, that's the Mesorah. I also get the first aliyah. Tell me, do you know for sure you're a kohen? Do you know for sure you're a kohen? You're not a cholol. You're not. There is no issue in the yichus. No. There's almost no one today. Maybe some people claim
they have DNA testing now, by the way.
The DNA is not going to help.
Not 100%.
It's not there because there are still loopholes. There are loopholes. There are loopholes in halacha how you can be positive and negative, whatever it is. No one today, no one today can say to you with absolute certainty, Borili, I am certain that I am a kohen. You can say gedoy l'chazaka. There's different thresholds in halacha. You get in the first aliyah. What's the worst thing you're going to do? They always say from Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, get Talmidim. And the Talmud said he had a dilemma. Should he become a Rebbe, a Marbitz Torah, or should he become a doctor? So he told him, better become a Rosh Hashiva than become a doctor. Because a Rosh Hashiva or a Rav, what's the worst thing you're going to do if you're a Rav? You'll paskin on kosher, you'll paskin on treif of meat that it's kosher. So one of your balabatim will eat treif of meat. What's going to happen? Nothing. But if you're a heart surgeon and you botch up on the surgery, your patient is dead. If you prescribe if you're a pharmacist and you prescribe 2 drugs that are lethal in combination, the patient is dead. So if you don't want to take risks in life, better be a rabbi. Because rabbis, whatever they pass, it's a very famous story. A rabbi, you pass something on halacha. So if you make a mistake in halacha, so you made a mistake. It's a terrible thing you have to do. Teshuvah, v'chol, 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 but no one's life is in danger. Generally speaking, a rabbi does not make life and death decisions. Generally. It could happen, but generally you're not making the business of making life and death decisions. If you're a doctor...
Take on that story. They went to the soccer of, and the son wanted to be a doctor. And the father says, no, I want to be a rabbi. They agreed to go to the soccer of. The soccer of says, be a doctor. It's better you're roifei chaylev than batei rasul.
Okay, you look at it different ways. Okay, whatever it is, the point is there are different thresholds to be a kohen. When you get an aliyah, what are you doing? What's the big deal? You get the first aliyah. So you got, is it bracha levatola? Let's say you're not a kohen. So what, you made a bracha levatola? No. Make it right then, you can give a Yisrael the first aliyah. We have a custom that in order, there shouldn't be machlaikis, we give a kohen levi Yisrael. This is a minog, it's halach, it's a minog, but if the gabbai gives a Yisrael an aliyah, and he takes the first aliyah in the presence of kohanim, did he make a bracha levatola? No, of course not. He didn't do the right thing by taking the first aliyah in the presence of kohanim, but he did nothing wrong. You read from the Torah, you got an aliyah, you made a bracha, so big deal. But when pidyon haben is a little more complicated, because pidyon haben you're dealing what? So birchas kohanim. Okay, each also so you're right. Each area of halacha has to be defined. But when it comes, let's say, Zeroya lechayayim v'hakeva, you know, if you're not a Kohen, this is gezel for no reason whatsoever. When it comes to Pidyon HaBen, listen, I got to redeem my child no matter what. You're the best I can find. We don't live in a perfect world. I have a mitzvah deraisa to do Pidyon HaBen. I have to spend $100 no matter what. You're a Kohen. No, it might be gezel, but you know something? I don't have a choice. I have to give the money to somebody. I might as well give it to you. You might not be a kohen bari. So what? But gedoy lechazok is good enough because I don't have a choice. When it comes to zeroya lechayayim v'hakeva, it's not on that level. It's not, if I do not give the zeroya lechayayim v'hakeva, it's no big, I can't tell you the details, the parameters, it's no big deal. If I don't redeem my firstborn child, what? Right, but Pidyon HaBen, it's not Sheva Altashev. Pidyon HaBen is more serious. I don't know the reason why. The baby has Kedusha. There's something more serious about Pidyon HaBen than it comes to Zeroya giving the cheek. So I didn't give you, and if, by the way, if you take it and you're not really a Kohen, you're a Ganef. You know, you're a god. Every single animal, you should get the tongue. You know how that's going to affect the economy? How much is going to affect the cost of meat? What? No, there's no Kedusha. There's no Kedusha. No, you did not. I can't tell you all the exact parameters, but every halacha has to be defined in its context. It's a problem. No one is going to ignore. This is the Yisoid. There are two dinim. There's a din in kahuna of gedoy lechazaka, and there's a din borili. Borili is the ultimate. No one today can say borili. The most we have is gedoy lechazaka. Question, how far does that go? Let's take every single part of halacha in its context and let's see if we reach the threshold of gedoy lechazaka is enough to go forward. When it comes to the dinim of negoim, you're dealing with so many issues that it's clear that Chazal have totally let go of this whole mitzvah. Why? Number one, as Rav Heshi said, once the Kohen says, you know, you're a muskar, we have a reasonable doubt if you might be a mitzvah, you have to be in quarantine for 7 days, and the halacha demands that you shave off right now all of your hair. That is a violation of at least 7 isurei d'oraisa. You have to shave off both peyos with a razor, and you have to shave off the 5 corners of your beard. It's a d'oraisa.
You could do it the other way around, and it's not a d'oraisa.
That's a sugi in the Gemara. Okay, but let's not go with that now. The assumption is that it is, you say, ase ase, v'doche lois ase. Yeah, that's only if we have a real kohen that declares you to be a mitzora muskar. And then noch the second time around, when he's a muchlat, you'll do it again. You're dealing with shaving off the peyas harosh and the peyas hazokon with a razor, which is an iser deraisa. Do we rely upon Gedol Chazaka to go that far? Number two.
It's also the
Hakavas. That's what he's referring to. If you do, I don't know if we pass it like that. If you do Hakavas Kol HaRosh, then it's not. Then there's no Issa. It's a Machlokes. If we pass it like that, that's the Machlokes in the Gemara.
Looks like today.
Let's assume we do. That's a given. Let's assume we do. That's another, but let's assume that we do. We started with that in the very beginning. We mentioned that in the very beginning a few times. We emphasized that point. Obviously, Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Tiferes Yisrael held that we do know enough. We do know enough. So that's not an issue. Okay, so therefore, why, Taka, don't we do it? So one of the first reasons, we gave already one answer. The Rambam never said that it applies the words bizman hazeh. The Rambam used a unique term called bifnei habayis, v'sheloi bifnei habayis. It's a tremendous chiddush. The term sheloi bifnei habayis has a certain threshold that we do not have bizman hazeh. The Rambam did not say bizman hazeh. It seems we have to do more research on this if the Rambam elsewhere uses the term bizman hazeh. So if the Rambam elsewhere will use the term bizman hazeh, and by negoyim will not use the term bizman hazeh, will use the term shaloi b'fnei habayis has a threshold, which we don't have bizman, and that needs definition. Now, let's go more practical reasons. We need a kohen. That everyone agrees. At least we need a kohen to say tameh and tohar. Now, the kohen, do we have a kohen bizman hazeh? Well, we certainly do. We have Pidyon HaBen, we have Birchas Kohanim, we have a first aliyah. Wait a minute. Even that's not so posh, because we don't give them the Zroiv HaLachayim Yakeva, and there are other things that we don't rely on. For Kohanim, we're lenient. There are different examples of a kohen who discovers that he's married to a gerusha. A total, total accident. Do we require him to get divorced? Not necessarily. There are many places that if it's a real, honest accident that he found himself about teshuva, finds himself, he beats Chayze B'Shuva, and then he discovers, wait a minute, I'm a Kohen. He never knew this. He goes to his father, his grandfather's Matzeva, and he sees it says the word Kohen, and he is married to this woman for 50 years, and he has children and grandchildren, so he tell him now to get divorced. Many places can say no. Gedol Chazaka is not enough to tell you to get divorced from a woman who's a Grusha, Achar HaMaisa, where, not necessarily. Because Gedoyle Chazaka only takes you that high. And every situation you need to study the halacha in its context. When it comes to the getting divorced person, like a Baal Teshuva, it doesn't seem that he's required to get divorced, because Gedoyle Chazaka is not that strong. When it comes to Zeroya Lecha, Yayin Ve'akeva, clearly we don't hold Gedoyle Chazaka. Otherwise, it will be a whole different industry. Now, when it comes to Nitzaras, Tzarasti, dealing with Isuri Deraisa, of telling a person to shave off all of your hair. You're dealing with Bizei Bizyonos. The Gresta Bizyonos. Could you imagine how it would affect a person's Shaduchim for his children? Okay, Badad Yeshev Michutz Lamachane Moishavai. You have to go into isolation, into lockdown, into quarantine. And why do you get Tzaras?
His Rebbe has to go with him.
Why do you get Tzaras? Why do you know, only, or Miklati goes with him. No, the Rebbe only goes with the Talmud if he commits murder. Murder. Not if he says Lashon Hara. Not if he says Lashon, because the Rebbe also says Lashon Hara. Okay? Only murder you go with the Talmud. So
we have to go to check him out.
The bees, the bizyonis of Badad Yeshay Mechus Machlaze. Oh, I have to pay a Shiva call today, and I have to pay a Mitzora call today. Yeah, like an oval. You know. There are enormous social consequences. There are social consequences. So, Gedoyle Chazaka, we should go and we should make trouble. Another chiddush. Now, this is a little bit of a chiddush. I'm not sure this is accurate. It seems, according to some of the Rishonim, it says the same Kohen who declares you, this might be totally wrong, but I'm not so sure, because this is what it seems to say. We have to say the halachos very well. It seems the same Kohen who declares you Tameh must declare you Tahar. Let's say the Kohen dies in between the time he declares Tameh, and that the Kohen, you call a Kohen to make an decide if he's a mitzvah, and he says tame. You need that very same kohen to be the one that says tahar. Just because we have kohanim, now let's say you die in the middle, you're stuck forever. There's no way to krich out of the tumah. You know, that can happen. That can happen. Where today, if it would be wholesale, so every person who goes to the dermatologist, you wouldn't go to the dermatologist too often, because he might tell you, oh, tame. And then what happens if the dermatologist disappears? He gets sick, he dies. Who's going to make you tar? For the rest of your life, you're going to suffer like this? That's so poshut. You're dealing with things, the consequences of enacting, the consequences of getting involved in saras, socially, and even halachically, are really very, very serious. Who says we should be so swift to jump into the ring only based on G'day L'chazaka? If we had Kohanim today that can say to us, Borili, I have a Yichus brief going back 125 generations to Matan Torah. Okay, that's L'chayr, every 25 years. 3,300.
Is there such a thing?
No one has that. People, they claim they have. Ask them, put pressure here, let me see it. Let me see your Yichus brief. Come on, no one has a Yichus brief. They have a Messiah. Can they say Borili? Can they stand up in Beis Din and say, swear on a Sefer Torah, Borili, I'm a Kohen? Who can today say that? Even people who claim that they're the Miyuchasim and all the Gedolim come for Pidyon HaBen to them. I don't know. Maybe there are people that can say, they can take a shvua. Bori li, I'm a kohen miyuchas, no chashash, chalolim, no chashash, it's all the way back 125 generations, 3,335 years ago. I come from Shevet Levi, from whichever, Kohas, whatever it was, I am a kohen. Can someone do that today? No, doesn't seem anyone can do that today. If that's the case, so should we rely upon Gedol Chazaka to get yourself involved in the social consequences of what it means to be a Mitzvah? Not so poshut. Now let's go. Now some of the Rishonim also make a suggestion. They have a different nusach, and I didn't have time to go through all the details. And they don't write Kohen Miyuchas. They write Kohen Boki, a Kohen who is a Boki, an expert, which would then mean that it's not enough for, we had the notion, like the Mishnah even says, that the Kohen doesn't know, he's not Amoritz. So, you know, the dermatologist says, oh, this is the real deal. So. What does that mean in the Mishnah? Ilchor in the Mishnah means that the dermatologist teaches the Kohen the Metzias. Is that what it means? Or it means, no, you Kohen, you're an Amoritz deraisa. We took you out from the beach, from your vacation. Just say, Tommy. Is that sufficient? Or the Kohen, some of the Rishonim use the term, you need a Kohen Boki, an expert. So how many dermatologists today are Kohanim? It's not enough just to have the Simonim. And then as Heshi said, you know, who says we even know what the Simonim are? We are such experts. Now, here's another issue, which seems not to be much of an issue, but let's discuss the issue anyway. The Rambam explicitly says that there's not just Nigoim of Adam. There are three different categories of Nigoim. There are Nigei Adam, Nigei Begodim, and Nigei Botim. So let's expand the scope of the question. How come we're only discussing getting into going with a dermatologist? What about construction? you go into someone's house, okay? Someone who does a spray foam in your basement. They come into your base. Oh, look at this. Look what we got over here on the wall of your house. We have a nega. Let's go. This house is to be inquired. We have to demolish the whole house. And I get a commission from the demolition crew. Okay? What about you go to the cleaners, the Chinese cleaners? Oh, you know what we found in your garment? A nega. We burnt the whole garment, sorry. Every time there's an accident in the cleaners, they'll say, it was a nega. We had to eliminate the garment. How come we don't talk about nig? No one, the Tiferes Yisrael and the Rabbi Kiv Eger doesn't seem they were too concerned about nigi botim and nigi begodim. How come they're only...
Nigi botim only Yisrael, no?
No, that's when it starts. I think someone says your answer, but I think others say that means that's when the mitzvah goes into effect. But once it goes into effect, it goes into effect everywhere in the world. It's machlaikis. What you said is a machlaikis. But let's assume it applies everywhere in the world. So the Rambam and Kimat, every Rishon, not everyone, but most of them, they say the same thing. And they say, Nige, this is a very important yesod. Nige Batim and Nige Bigodim are Lamala Miderech Hateva. It's Maasei Ois Upela. There is no scientific explanation to understand, to define a nega on a bias and a nega on a garment. The Rambam says this explicitly, and so do Kimat all of the Rishonim. Nigei Batim and Nigei Begadim are Lamal Lamederech Ateva. Today, we don't live in a world that's Lamal Lamederech Ateva. Everything today has to be science. Now, the Rambam is silent on the nature of Nige Adam. Now, when we were kids, they always taught us is that Nige Adam are also a Nega that's Lamala Miderech Ateva. It's not defined in any science book, and any medical school can tell you what it is. It is a spiritual malady. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not happy with this person, and Hashem strikes him with a Nega. And this Nega, there is no doctor in the world that can explain to you the physical nature of this Nega. The Rambam deliberately leaves that out. He says explicitly that Nige Begodim and Nige Batim, are Ois Upela, but is silent regarding the Nige Bnei Adam, which leads, and from the Sprach, you have to read the whole Rambam inside, from the flow of the words of the Rambam, the impression that most of the commentators, at least what I'm telling you from the Sefer Das Kanisa, conclude that the whole flow of the way the Rambam describes the process of Negoim is, Nige Adam is a natural disease. They say leprosy, which they totally say cannot possibly be. The reason why they say leprosy cannot be is because it appears that it is a non-contagious disease. How do you know it's non-contagious? Negoim is not contagious. Because a chosan who has a nega, you let it go. You don't inspect the nega of a chosan during the Shiva Simei HaMishneh. If a nega is leprosy, he'll kill them all. Everyone that comes to dance with the chosan will get leprosy. And they'll all be sick, they'll all die. How could the halacha be that you don't inspect a nega just because he's a chosan? How could it be that during the Shalosh Regalim you don't look at Negoim? If the nega is contagious, it's a lethally contagious disease, sakonis nefashas. Of course you should go, you should quarantine him during his Shiva Simei HaMishneh. The fact that halacha does not demand to be quarantined, not on the regel, indicates that the nega that the Torah is describing is not contagious. And leprosy is contagious. It's a very dangerous disease. It's contagious. So the pashtus is that we're not dealing over here with a contagious disease. We're dealing over here with some other type of disease. And from the shprach, the flow of the Rambam, it's mashma, that negoim is not lemala miderech hateva. However, there are minority opinions in the Rishonim who hold the same way it's clear as day according to everyone that nigei botim and nigei bnei adam, nigei garments and homes is an ois upela. It is lemala miderech hateva. It's supernatural. Nigei Adam are also Lamala Miderech Hateva. And if that is correct, then there's nothing to talk about. There's no tsaras bizman hazeh. We're not on a madrega, we're worthy of tsaras. And there's one more answer I want to give, which doesn't say here, which I don't know why no one says this. It seems to be, I don't know why no one says the answer I'm going to give you now. Let's say you learn, let's say everything is good. Let's say you learn that we have today a Kohen Baki. I will find today, we'll do a search, a Kohen who's an expert in all of the Simonim. And we'll find today a Kohen, it's a Meyuchas, a Babari, you can say Barili. And make believe, and everything is good. And we have a person that qualifies to have a Nega. And we'll follow the opinion of the Rambam that seems to say that a Nega on the body is a natural physical disease, malady. It's a natural thing. You go to the dermatologist, he'll say, he'll tell you, if it was a base hamigdash, you see what this guy has? This is a nega. You have all the conditions. Make believe now, I will present you with a situation. You have every single thing ready to go. A Kohen Baki, a Kohen Miyuchas that can say barley. You have a dermatologist who is a Kohen. And who is that Kohen? And has seen it all and can say, if it used to be, we would say he's Mamasha, it's Saras. There's one thing that's missing. Now this is the way the Rambam writes, and this is the way many of the Rishonim talk. They write this very straight out. No one gets a nega on his guf immediately. To get a nega on your guf, there is a process. The Rambam writes this very clearly. He writes, I was shocked how he writes, even in the Nigei Adam. First, you get a nega in the bias. It never happens. You wake up one day, I have a nega on my skin. It doesn't happen like that. What happens is, you get a nega on the bias. Ah, there's a nega. They came to read the meter, and they found a nega on the bias. Then, you go through the whole process. You quarantine that stone. You make a circle around it. You take it out. Or you knock down the whole house. Who knows? Okay. A few months later, you go to the cleaners. And the Chinaman says, got bad news for you. Your clothing have tsaras. Then the Rambam says,
he's not getting the message.
And then the Rambam says, now this is amazing. Now, there are many types of, there's a nega on the head, on the beard, and then the colors. First you get a nega on the head. Then you get a nega on the beard. Then you get a nega on your skin. And so the first types of colors are not even painful. The most severe is very painful. There's a process. You don't just get a nega right away. There's a seder.
Right.
And how you get negoyim. So therefore, everyone agrees, everyone, b'li yoytzim in aklal, nigei batim, and nigei b'nei, nigei batim, and nigei, and nigei begadim, is l'malim derech hateva. And the Rambam says, there's a seder. First you get that, and only at the end, do you get a nega on your body? So it's impossible today to get a nega on the bias and on a beged, because we do not live in a world that's lamala miderech hateva. That's accepted. There's no lamala miderech hateva today. So if you cannot get a nega first on your garments and in your home, you never passed step one where you could now say, oh, look what I got. On my flesh. Dermatologist says, you have a nega. Yeah.
Is that protocol required?
Yeah. So I'm suggesting that it is. I'm telling you, a chiddush, it doesn't say anywhere. Just lahagdil toro lahadira. I'm shocked no one says this. Because the Rambam and the Chinuch and the Ramban, they all write this. They go, Ketzad, how is the Seder of getting nega? There's a Seder. How you get a nega? So if a guy wakes up one day, goes to the dermatologist, he says, you mamash have a nega. This is the real deal. This is the real deal. I'm telling you, I have a mesorah, misinai, I'm a kohen baki, I'm a kohen miyuchas, and I know what the simonim are. You have a nega. And a nega on the guf does not have to be lamala miderech hateva. It's teva, the Rambam. It's mashma the Rambam, it's nature. It's just a disease that the dermatologist will identify. This is a nega. So why doesn't he say to you, Tomei, why doesn't Teretz is, you may have that nega, but there's a, halachically, did you get first a nega on the bias? Were you warned? Did Hashem warn you with your bias and with your garments? No. Then we can't hold you responsible. You get a ticket. Were you speeding? I certainly was. I was going 95 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone, 25 miles an hour, I was going 95. Judge, I'm telling you, but judge, you got it. What?
I couldn't have done it.
But you got to forgive me, because the license plate number on the ticket is wrong. Case dismissed. It's a technicality. You're guilty as sin, but technicality, same thing. You got a nigga. You're guilty as sin. You're going 95 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone. Did you get a warning? Did you get a nega on the bias, on the garments? No. Case dismissed. How come no one says that answer? If the Rambam says there's a seder to the negoyim And the Seder today is impossible to fulfill, because the Rambam says the Nigei Botim and the Nigei Begodim is an Oysu Pella. And Nigei Adam? No! Nigei Adam is natural. It's natural. Any dermatologist can point out what the Neg is. You need to go through the steps. If you don't go through the steps, Bizman Hazeh. We can't do anything Bizman Hazeh. Okay, that's our shiur for today. By the way, the Chofetz Chaim though says something very shocking. Only the Chofetz Chaim could say that Bizman Hazeh we have in the Goyim. Poverty. Anius. Anius today is the equivalent of Chofetz Chaim. I couldn't say this. Chofetz Chaim is the equivalent of Negoim. Person finds himself losing money. You have to make a cheshbon hanefesh. The Rambam, the Chofetz Chaim writes this. Not me. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael. Amen. Wait, one second. Say in Kaddish.